Welcome to this deep dive. We're going on a journey, a fascinating one, into the Gospel of Luke.
Oh, cool.
You listeners have sent in some pieces, well, excerpts actually, from some lectures by Dr. Daniel K. Darko. He's a scholar who, you know, really makes this ancient text come to life. And we're not just going for a summary here.
Right.
We really want to uncover what's unique about how and why Luke wrote his gospel.
Yeah. You know, what I find so captivating about Dr. Darko is how enthusiastic he is about Luke. Like, it's contagious, you know?
Uh-huh.
He's talking to a fellow Christian, a guy named Theophilus. But what he says is so relevant for anyone. You don't have to be a scholar or anything. If you want to understand Luke's gospel more deeply, his insights are amazing.
I've always kind of assumed that each gospel writer just sat down and wrote their own version of Jesus's life. Like separate biographies, right?
Yeah.
But Dr. Darko points out that Luke was super meticulous. It wasn't just retelling a familiar story. He was really careful. He used all sorts of sources, like he did his research, and he even calls it an orderly account.
Yeah. That's right. That phrase, orderly account, it's really key to how Luke approached this. You might be surprised to know that Luke wasn't really hung up on strict chronological order.
Really?
Yeah, he was more focused on the theology, like creating a narrative that made sense theologically and highlighted certain things, like Jesus's compassion for people who were on the margins of society.
That's interesting because it really challenges how we think about history today. You know,
right.
We're all about timelines. But Luke is saying the message is what matters most. It's almost like he was crafting an argument. He's using stories and teachings to show who Jesus is and what his mission was.
Exactly. And to understand how he builds this argument, you need to know a little about source criticism. Have you ever heard of that?
Honestly, no. It sounds kind of intimidating.
It's not as complicated as it sounds. Imagine you're like piecing together your family history.
Okay.
You've got old letters, photographs, maybe stories that have been passed down, you know, some details might be missing. So you have to use all these different sources to get the full picture. That's basically what scholars do with the Gospels. They're trying to find out where the text came from, who wrote what, and how it all came together.
So it's like being a history detective.
Yes, precisely. And one of the most important things source criticism tells us is that Luke probably used things that were already written when he wrote his gospel.
So he wasn't just like making it up.
Exactly. He might have used Mark's gospel, for instance, as a source. And then there's this mysterious thing called the Q source, which might have been a collection of Jesus's sayings that early Christians were sharing. And of course, Luke had his own stuff, what we call the L source.
So it's like, as Dr. Darko puts it, Luke had a pasta sauce recipe.
Huh.
He's blending these different ingredients to make his own flavor.
I love that analogy. And speaking of how Luke structured his gospel, there's another fascinating thing Dr. Darko talks about. The Gospel of Luke is actually just the first part of a two-part work. Acts is like the sequel.
Wait, are you saying Luke intended those two books to be read together, like one complete narrative?
Yes, exactly. They have the same author, same recipient, this guy Theophilus, and a lot of the same themes. Even the writing style is very similar.
This next part is really intriguing. Dr. Darko suggests that Luke might have even structured each part to fit on, like the longest papyrus scroll they had back then. It's wild to think about your big story limited by the size of ancient paper.
Isn't it remarkable? It really makes you think about the limits those authors had to work with.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm having trouble believing that Luke would have actually structured his work around how big a scroll was. Is there any evidence to support that?
Well, that's a good question. We don't have absolute proof. But it makes sense, you know. Papyrus wasn't cheap, and those scrolls could get pretty long and awkward to handle.
So it would make sense for Luke to think about those things. He was a meticulous writer, as you said.
Exactly. And it also shows how important it is to think about the time and place where these texts were written.
Okay, so we have this huge two-part epic, Luke and Acts. What are the big themes that connect them?
One of the big ones is promise and fulfillment. The idea that everything God promised in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. Then there's the age of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a main character in both books. You see the Spirit empowering and guiding the early followers of Jesus.
Oh, I see. It's starting to make sense how these themes create this like continuity between Luke and Acts. It's like watching God's plan unfold in two acts.
Yes, exactly. And there's another big theme Dr. Darko talks about, a gospel for all people. Luke really wants to show that the gospel message reaches everyone, you know, different groups, including the people who were pushed aside and ostracized back then. He wants us to see that Jesus's message of love and salvation is for everyone, no matter who they are or where they come from.
That's so relevant today with all the division and inequality in the world. Luke's message feels really timely and necessary.
I agree. It's a reminder that the gospel is about radical welcome and transformative hope. It can break down walls and bring people together.
Dr. Darko gives this really powerful example. He talks about a woman in the gospel who was considered ritually unclean.
Right.
But she's desperate to be healed by Jesus. This story shows how Luke focuses on the people who are often overlooked or ignored.
Yeah, it's a powerful reminder that Jesus didn't avoid those considered untouchable. He welcomed them, healed them, and made them part of his community.
It's like Luke is challenging the social rules of his time, you know,
showing
that in God's kingdom, the divisions disappear. Everyone's invited to the table.
Absolutely. It's a radical message. Yeah. And it still challenges us today to rethink our own prejudices and work toward a world where everyone is treated with dignity and respect. You know, it's amazing when you think about it, like the culture back then when the gospel was written. It's easy to forget that the early followers of Jesus lived in a totally different world.
Right.
They saw the world differently. Social structures were different. Their beliefs, even their religious beliefs, were different. And all of that affects how we should read Luke's gospel today.
I see what you mean.
We can't just read it through our 21st century glasses, you know. We have to try to go back in time and see it as Luke and his readers would have seen it.
That's where Dr. Darko is so good. He really helps us bridge that gap between the ancient world and today. He makes the text come alive, and it's relevant, but also, like, challenging, you know. And he's really passionate about the Jewish roots of Christianity. It's something we often miss.
It is a shame because it's so important to understand that context. Dr. Darko makes it clear. Early Christianity was very much a Jewish movement. Those first believers, they saw Jesus as fulfilling Jewish prophecies, not as replacing Judaism.
It's like you said, they were people of the way. Mm-hmm. They didn't think they were separate from Judaism, just living out its truest form.
Exactly. It's a subtle difference, but a crucial one. And Dr. Darko, he says something really powerful. He urges us to reject any kind of theology that leads to hatred of Jews. Hating Jews and saying Christianity has replaced Judaism, that totally misses what Luke is trying to say in his gospel.
Wow. That's something to think about. We have to be so careful how we interpret these ancient texts. We can't just put our own opinions on them.
Right. Words have power. Even when we have good intentions, our interpretations can have bad consequences.
Sometimes I think we get lost in the details and miss the big picture. You know, we focus on specific verses, specific interpretations, and we lose sight of that overall message of love and compassion and unity that runs through the whole gospel.
That's such a good point, and it brings us back to how Luke tells his story. Dr. Darko really emphasizes that Luke was a master storyteller. He uses all these literary techniques to engage his audience and get his point across.
Yeah, his use of parallels really stood out to me. For instance, he compares the anointing of Jesus to the anointing of the early church in Acts.
And he points out the similarities in the trials of Jesus and Paul. It helps us see the connections, understand the bigger story.
It's like Luke is composing music, right? He's using these recurring themes to create a sense of unity and flow.
Exactly. And he uses more traditional storytelling, too, like summaries and speeches and journeys. It breaks things up, adds variety, and we get to see things from different perspectives.
It makes you realize when you describe it like that, that these texts weren't just meant to be read quietly on a page. They were meant to be heard, experienced, shared.
Right. Imagine listening to this story being told by a really good storyteller. It would have been captivating. The changes in pace, the descriptions, the dialogue.
And that communal aspect was huge in ancient cultures. Sharing stories was how they passed on knowledge, built community, connected with something bigger than themselves.
Exactly. And it leads to a big question that scholars have been debating for ages. Is Luke's gospel a biography of Jesus, or is it something else? More like a historical narrative.
That's a fascinating question. I have to admit, before we started this deep dive, I just thought of Luke as a pretty straightforward biography. But Dr. Darko seems to think it's more complicated than that.
It is. And that's because the idea of gospel as a genre didn't even exist before the New Testament. These texts, they're a unique blend. You've got history, biography, theological teaching.
Right.
It's hard to categorize them.
Dr. Darko had this really relatable example to explain that. He talked about his grandmother telling stories. In lots of cultures, storytelling isn't just about facts, you know.
No.
It's about conveying truth and meaning through a mix of fact and fiction, history and myth.
It reminds us that our Western fact-based way of looking at history isn't the only way. When we're dealing with these ancient texts, we need to be open to different ways of knowing and understanding.
So where does Dr. Darko land in this debate? Biography or narrative?
Well, he suggests seeing Luke as a historical narrative with some biographical elements. He says Luke, the narrator, had a specific goal in mind. He wanted to give an orderly account of Jesus' life and ministry, but show how it all fit within Second Temple Judaism.
You mentioned that earlier, Second Temple Judaism. Could you explain what that means?
Sure. Second Temple Judaism is a period from about 516 BCE to 70 CE, when the Second Temple stood in Jerusalem. It was a time of a lot of religious and cultural change, and it's the backdrop for Jesus' life and ministry.
So understanding this period is really important for understanding Luke's gospel.
Absolutely. And Dr. Darko reminds us that Luke wasn't just writing for Jewish people. He was also writing for Gentiles, people who didn't know Jewish customs or beliefs. So he had to find ways to make the story accessible and meaningful to a wider audience.
That makes sense. It shows how skilled Luke was as a writer. He had to deal with these different cultural perspectives and create a narrative that would work for everyone.
Exactly. His language, the images he uses, the events he chooses to include, they all reflect this awareness of his audience.
So it's not just a random collection of stories. It's a deliberate narrative with a message.
And to understand that message, we have to pay attention to how Luke says it, not just what he says. We have to look at the structure, the literary devices, how he develops characters and themes.
We're like literary detectives, looking for clues to unlock the deeper meaning.
And the best part is, the more we dig, the more we discover. Luke's gospel is like a well that never runs dry. Every time we go back to it, we find new insights and challenges.
You know, before we started this deep dive, I had such a simple view of Luke. I thought it was just a straightforward account of Jesus's life. But now I see it's way more intricate. It's like Luke was making a tapestry.
Yeah.
He was so careful in picking these threads of history and biography and theology to create this amazing work of art.
That's such a great way to put it. It really shows what Dr. Darko was saying about how Luke had a purpose when he was writing. He wasn't just writing down events. He was crafting a narrative. Like, he wanted to persuade his audience, draw them into the story of Jesus and the power of the gospel to change lives.
Yeah, Dr. Darko really emphasized that point. Luke had an aim, a goal. And that goal, it shaped everything, from the words he chose to the way he put the whole narrative together.
Exactly. And he does it so well. Vivid language, compelling characters, dramatic scenes, thought-provoking dialogue. He draws his readers in and really makes them think.
He even throws in some cliffhangers. Keeps us on the edge of our seats.
Right. It's no wonder that Luke's gospel has resonated with people for centuries.
So what does this all mean for us today?
Yeah.
Why should we care about the gospel of Luke and its Jewish roots in the 21st century?
That's the big question, right? And I think Dr. Darko gives us some hints in his conclusions. He reminds us that Luke's gospel has spoken to people from all walks of life, from Theophilus, the nobleman Luke wrote the gospel to back in the first century, all the way to the Pope today.
Oh, yeah. He mentioned that Luke is the Pope's favorite gospel, right?
Yeah.
And how the Pope uses Luke's focus on caring for the poor and marginalized to challenge people today.
Exactly. And if this ancient text can speak to people across such huge differences in time and culture, then it must have something universal in it, something that goes beyond our differences and speaks to what it means to be human.
Dr. Darko leaves us with a question, a really thought-provoking one. He asks, if the Gospel of Luke was so powerful for a first-century nobleman and a 21st-century pope, what parts of it might speak to you today?
It's a question worth thinking about, and I think it challenges us to go back to the text, not just as casual readers, but as active seekers. Look for those pieces of wisdom and truth that can shed light on our own lives.
You know, as we've been talking about Luke's gospel, I've been struck by how hopeful it is. Even in the face of suffering and difficulty, there's this unshakable belief that God is there, that he's working for good and ultimately bringing about a kingdom of justice and peace. It's a message that feels so relevant today. Especially when the world feels so divided and uncertain.
Yeah, I agree. And there's that strong call to compassion and justice that runs through Luke's gospel. It challenges us to help those who are marginalized, to defend those who are oppressed, to work for a world where everyone is treated with respect and dignity.
I think Dr. Darko's insights have really given us a new way of looking at this ancient text. We've been challenged to see it in a fresh way, to appreciate how complex and beautiful it is, and to wrestle with its timeless message.
Well, I hope this deep dive has inspired you to explore Luke's gospel for yourself and see what riches it holds.
So there you have it, folks, our deep dive into the Gospel of Luke, guided by the brilliant insights of Dr. Daniel K. Darko.
It's been a fascinating journey, and we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep seeking wisdom and truth.